The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. Tons of reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's fast, safe, and secure, and it has fast payouts as quick as 2 hours. There's also so many bet types, including same-game parlay bets, live betting, player props, and futures. FanDuel is making it easy for everyone to bet this season with a bunch of promotions that they'll be sharing all season long on our podcast. If you've been listening along, you've heard a lot of those. There's risk-free bets and same-game parlay bets, enhanced odds markets, and more. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with promo code J&J so they know we sent you. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, January 12th, or Thursday Eve, as we call it.
Thursday. We're leaning in. God damn.
We've got all kinds of relevant and stupid shit to talk about today. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. We're all very tired. It's very early where John and I are. Tyler did not sleep last night, so everyone's faces are puffy.
Bro, like I told you, my phone didn't even recognize me this morning, nigga. I felt, come on.
You should sue over that. That's offensive.
Right. It said, put the code in. I tried to do it again. It said, no, nigga. I said, put the code in, nigga. You, my phone Siri just be out here being ornery out here. You feel me?
John's iPhone tried to tell him he's a different. He said, "That's not your face. I know your face. That's not your face."
This is 20% more face in the morning, though, bro. I sleep right on my face, bro. My face be fat as fuck, bro. Shit.
So you sleep face down?
Nah, bro. But it just looked like it after I wake up.
Okay.
Bro, you know what I'm saying?
I don't sleep face down very often, but if I have slept face down, it's because I was up until, like, way too late, and I did the, like, swan dive onto the pillow. You know what
and
I mean?
Bang.
I just, like,
right,
blah,
right, right. Like slow motion fall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then Tyler normally sleeps, like, 4 hours a night, but he only got 3 hours last night, so he's
fucked my whole rhythm up.
that 45 minutes you missed out on.
It's so vital.
This is the first time I've ever seen you tired, though, bro. Like,
I know.
You sleep a day, and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. You sleep an hour and a half and get up like, all right. I remember the South by shit. When we would sleep 45 minutes, it seemed like your ass was
that
spry.
That was like 10 years ago, too.
Yeah,
bro.
That's a fact. That's a fact. Niggas old now.
We've done some living since then. John.
Right, right. And some olding, bro. These joints don't be jointing the same way.
Well, let's talk about a player who is like the opposite of what we're talking about is Ja Morant. I don't know what this dude's body was carved out of, bro. But it's not the same shit that we were carved out of. Last night, he went fucking dummy against the Warriors. The Grizz won by 8. He had 29, including 5 points in the last minute of the game. I already had him at the top of our list because I wanted to talk about that block he had against the Lakers mm-hmm. that looked like it was an Olympic event of some kind. The way he
Man's
rose out of
competing the high jump. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's insane.
It is Ja taking the Grizz this year from a fun team with a fun young player to a team that people should be worried about going up against?
I mean, I think they could win a first round series. I think that's about it. I think that's their ceiling at the moment now. But Ja has been fucking incredible. Like, I mean, I think it's time to talk about, you know, if this guy's the second best point guard in the league right about now. Like, he's been that fucking good this season. That fucking block that he had, oh my God. And then that fucking oop that he caught later. Did you see that shit when he was, like, eye level with the rim?
Almost hit his head on the rim.
Yeah, almost. Bro, Like I said it. I said, I feel like getting this hot take off that this is perhaps the best athlete we've seen at point guard ever. I don't know if I'll go that far just yet, but he's for sure on that D-Rose Russ tier already.
I don't know. D-Rose and Russ to me are the most athletic. I mean, I think they're more athletic, but I think it's close.
It's kind of a rat versus squirrel debate because it's different kinds of athleticism versus Ja.
We've seen athletic. You know, I mean, it's a league full of aliens. We've seen athletes before. You know what I'm saying? We've seen dudes with their head. We saw Bron during 2010, 2011, 2012. We saw him staring into the rim. You know what I mean? What trips me out about Ja is his feel for the game at this age. You know what I'm saying? His feel, G. Like, he's what, like, when I looked at Russ and when I looked at Derek, you know what I'm saying, Derrick Rose, when I looked at them, I was wondering, like, what would they look like after they're, you know, they've, you know, they lost their athletic ability. You know what I mean? Like, would they still be effective? Derrick Rose has proven to be. You know what I'm saying? I still wonder that about Westbrook at times. You know, I think he's still figuring it out.
I think
you know
we're
what
more
mean?
Than wondering it at the oh, current yeah,
I,
moment.
I'm
yeah,
trying to be
sure.
kind.
Yes,
you
I
know,
appreciate
it's early
it.
The morning,
it is,
G.
Yes,
you know
I
what I mean? You feel me? But, yeah. But, I mean, I don't worry about that when I look at him. His feel for the game is incredible. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's playing with a sixth sense out there. You know, I look at him looking down in the rim, ducking up under the rim when dunking is crazy. But what he does with the ball, like, you know what I'm saying, and how comfortable he is in situations at that age is mind-blowing to me.
The block he had against the Lakers looked like a horror movie. Like, it just – like, when you see
you
the
clip –
You
heard the scream in the background?
Yeah. When you see the shot of, like, from the end line – and you see the ball go up, and then he just, like, a rocket. And he just, like, keeps going up. It was totally like a Jaws slow motion clip or something. It was like, what the fuck is this dude on right now?
Last night, they were showing – they're getting to the point where they're showing Ja. Like, he was about to block – I think it was Toscano Anderson? He was about to block somebody from the Warriors. And he missed the block. I mean, this was a jump shot. But they just showed how high he got. On the missed jump shot block. You know, I think he actually hit the three, but they didn't show the man hit the three.
Right.
They showed Ja, who almost blocked it from, you know, like from, you know, Zion Williamson, you know, areas on the court. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I'm very intrigued by what Tyler just says. So I'm rearranging the topics on the fly. And I want to talk about Chauncey Billups had the following to say about Kyrie Irving. He's must-see TV. I personally think, as someone that played the position, I think Kyrie's the most skilled player that's ever played at point guard. Just straight skill, nothing else. Just straight skill. I think he's the best I've ever seen at that position, skill-wise. Do you agree with Chauncey Billups that Kyrie Irving is the most skilled point guard of all time? John, you go first.
Yeah. I think he's the second most skilled NBA player I've ever seen. I think Kobe Bryant's the most skilled player I've ever seen. I don't know what them niggas was doing in the 70s. I was not a thought yet. You feel me? I've seen tape, but well, Kyrie, there's nothing in the world that Kyrie can't do with a basketball. You know what I mean? And so, like, I don't think he's the best point guard. I think, obviously, you know, Steph is a better point guard. You know what I mean? And Zeke and Magic, you know what I mean? But as far as skill alone, there's nothing on the planet he can't do with a basketball. I think, I mean, his feet are incredible. I don't think it's that big of a – I don't think that's a hot take, honestly.
Tyler, what do you think?
He's a hooper super. You know, this is basically what I was talking about that time when I had to fucking zip KD up when he came at me. You know what I'm saying? I was like, NBA players seem to really love Kyrie's game. And, you know, it's worthy to be loved. He's a fucking phenomenal player. I think NBA players are enamored with him because he does the impossible. And basketball players have – you know, if a basketball player sees a basketball player do something they can't do, there's a certain level of respect there for him, right? I think for sure he's the best dribbler we've ever seen. You know, his shot creation, the way he can get to his spots, the way he can finish in traffic are ridiculous. But I got to say, if you're talking about, like, most skilled player and this player is a point guard, I think he's got to be a spectacular passer too. And I don't think Kyrie's spectacular at passing. I think he's good at it, maybe even really good at it. But I don't think he's a spectacular passer, bro. For a point guard, you gotta be that. You
I think
gotta
he's
be
good
that
enough at other things. I don't think we define point guards by passing as much anymore. I think the point guard position has changed. I think, you know, with his ability to score kind of makes up for that. You know, and he's still a great passer. But also look at how he finishes at the rim. This motherfucker will disappear in the fucking trees in the forest, nigga, come out with a bucket. Because he can finish in so many fucking ways. The best, who has a better layup package we've ever seen? So we're talking about the best handler, one of the best, you know, shot makers, and one of the best finishers ever. And we just gonna lean on, the passing isn't spectacular. So he's, you know, I mean, there's a lot there that he already has that I think can make up for the passing. You know what I'm saying? I get your point 1,000%. But that's a more traditional way of looking at the point guard. I think now the point guard is a little different than it's much bigger than just a good passer. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think it's important, obviously. He runs the offense well. But he's a scorer, dog. That motherfucker is a two. He moved over to that position very easily. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah.
And I think that's Tyler's right, first of all, about being a hooper's hooper. And I'm a total nerd about shit like this. But if you listen to stand-up comedians talk about Dave Chappelle or about Mitch Hedberg or whoever, they don't talk about the stuff that we talk about. They talk about being blown away by stuff that would never occur to someone who's not a like top level stand up comedian. They'll talk about where his eyes are, you know what I mean? Like in the middle of a delivery or some shit like that. And I think it's a similar thing with Kyrie. I'm not good enough at basketball probably to fully understand the shit he's doing that a Chauncey Billups could see him do and go, oh, I could never do that if I practiced it. And I was Chauncey Billups. So, I think there is that level of appreciation. The only thing I don't like about this aspect of basketball dialogue that I feel like has increased enormously over the last few years is, when did we create this definition of skilled as being so different from productivity or talent level or whatever else? Is what Steph does as a point guard that no one else can do, that's not a skill? Because he has
definitely a skill.
He has like a certain like gift for, you know, hand-eye coordination, timing, shooting. Is what Ja Morant does is not skill because he's athletic. Like, you know what I mean? I just don't really like this separation of specifically the things you learn in drills are skills and everything else is like talent or gifts. I just don't really like it. I don't like it when people talk about Bron that way. You know, like Bag Twitter loves to go after Bron. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me as a way to like split up basketball into these little slices.
I think all those people are people that are the most skilled players we've, you know, in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? I think Steph is extremely skilled. I think Ja is extremely skilled. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, obviously Bron is too. Like, I don't think those people aren't skilled players. You know what I'm saying? I think what makes Ja good is not his athletic ability. It's his skills. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to Steph and Kyrie, I just think Kyrie is more skilled in certain areas. You know what I'm saying? That's all. And we're talking about, and I think the thing, this difference between Ja and Kyrie is, when I look at their game, I don't think like they were in the gym banging the fucking ball doing drills. You know, they got good at playing basketball by playing basketball. Because, you know what I'm saying? I think they got good at playing basketball. They got their reps in playing the game. That's what it looks like to me. You know what I'm saying? So, but I still think they're obviously very skilled players.
I mean, going back to what Mike said, like, you know, Steph, for instance, he's the best combination of handles and shooting we've ever seen in our lives. You know what I mean? So, you know, he's not the dribbler Kyrie is, but he's leaps better at shooting. You know what I'm saying? So how do we gauge that? How do we gauge who's more skilled there? You know what I'm saying? Because the dribbling gap is smaller and the shooting gap is huge. So
I don't think the dribbling gap is small. I think Kyrie's the best.
But the shooting gap between Steph and any other point guard is bigger than any other gap, right?
Steph and anybody, other than like Clay. Him and Clay are the two people that are probably, you know what I mean? But yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's something to say there. I'll give you that for sure. A lot of this shit is opinion based. It's based on, you know,
more than a lot of it.
All of it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because do you compare the skills of Magic Johnson to the skills of Zeke to the skills of Steph to the skills of Kyrie? I mean, there's just you can't really do it, bro.
To me, Magic was just his creativity. I think he was a brilliant mind. That's what made him so. Also, his size helped for sure. He was a brilliant mind. But if you look at Magic handles, he was backing down motherfuckers on some Gary Payton shit. He had his back to the basket a lot. He wasn't just crossing niggas up. He used his body real well.
But that's my point. I just don't like the ability to be 6'8" and run very fast and make quick decisions and pass well. That's a skill. Like, I know that you don't like practice your way to 6'8", but how are you determining? You know what Kevin Durant does is more skill than 7 foot because he's 7 foot. It doesn't take away from the work he put in or whatever. It's just your body is literally who you are. So separating it from your skill or your talent or whatever, I don't know. It's just weird to me. Like, it feels like a Bob Cousy argument. You know what I mean? It's like, look, I know he only shot 10%, but he's really skilled. Like, you could really see.
He would slide on his knees mid-game. The wizard! You know what I mean? Like, bro, all right, my nigga, keep all of that. You know, he didn't have a left. Cut the left hand off. He's still the same fucking player. You know what I mean? But I get what y'all are saying. I'm saying, for me, looking at the game, when I break it down, I think Kyrie, second most skilled player I've ever seen, period. I've ever seen. I think Kobe, like, what he could do, like, with a basketball, like, there was not a single thing he couldn't do. So I think he's the most – I mean, and I think also Kobe's footwork. Like, I mean, whether it was, you know, in the pivot, you know, or out, you know what I'm saying, out in the – you know, I just don't –
I know what you're saying. I think it's pretty obvious to me. And I know what Chauncey's saying too. I'm not really even disagreeing particularly.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just, I think from the perspective he's coming from, yes. Like, you know,
but let them argue that. No, that's not what you're just trying to say. We don't.
I think it's an interesting discussion. Yeah. I just think it is like we've changed the way we think about basketball and positions and skill and like everything's changed so much over the course of the. I mean, certainly the history of the game, but I feel like even over the last 10 years, mm-hmm. And you know what I was going to bring up with Ja, it's great to have these young players that are so exciting and that you said that you feel like you could be so excited about for a long time. Cause I saw this stat, I think Tyler retweeted this last night, that 2009, 2010, the two leading scorers are Bron and KD. 2021, 22, the leading scorers are KD and Bron. And you're like, ooh, that has a little bit of a mothball smell to it. That graphic, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I thought it was beautiful. You think it tastes bad? I thought that was fire. And I think that talks about how skilled Bron is too, because he's definitely not the same athlete he was at that time period. You know what I'm saying? So
anyone who scored 35,000 points in the league, you know, the idea that you're talking about.
That's not a score, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, he doesn't have a bag. I was like, shut the fuck up. The bag's pretty big, bro.
What he does have is pretty dominant, you know, and there's a skill there too. You know what I mean?
I like being the fuck bag Twitter podcast, Tyler. I'm good with that. That's a good position for us to have.
What you were saying about the, like, what both y'all were saying about the players and how they watch them. Like, I think they get a chance to watch basketball how we watch basketball. You know what I mean? We're like, they're looking at Kyrie and the way we would look at them. You know what I mean? And I think especially a Chauncey. Chauncey was a fucking dog. You know what I mean? He's not talked about a lot, but that motherfucker, watching a lot of Chauncey, yes. I mean, even in with the Nuggets, that motherfucker could ball. You know what I'm saying? So him saying that goes a long way for me, but I already felt that, but, you know, I think there's just something to be said about it.
Let's talk about the return of Klay. This last time we recorded, it was the morning of his first game back. I did get a chance to watch that whole game. It was first of all, they were going nuts at the Chase Center. They were going crazy. We had a friend who was there, sent his video, and it's like, this looks like a fucking concert, bro. Like, it didn't matter if it was a timeout, if it was what. That whole first quarter, everyone was going apeshit. He's had a couple games back now. Looked good in stretches, looked like he's coming back in stretches, obviously playing 4 or 5 minutes at a time, difficult to do. But Tyler, how happy were you to see Klay back on the court?
I was ecstatic. You know, we talked about before how much we love Klay. You know, it's good to have Klay back. You know, he got in there, yammed on a motherfucker. I don't know when the last time Klay caught a body like that, but, you know, that was a hell of a fucking play. But, yeah, it's good to have Klay back, man. And, you know, it's probably going to be a process before he goes fucking supernova. But he's going to have one of those games, you know, before the season is out for sure. So, you know, looking forward to that.
I love how he's just not afraid to get those shots up, G. You know what I'm saying? He like, bitch, I'm still me, motherfucker. I'd rather me shoot it than anybody else in the world. You know, lean into that. You know what I mean? I think that'll get him there faster, you know, than the other way of thinking, you know. But he's not timid at all. Like you said, he went in yam, probably didn't think about that motherfucking knee. You know what I'm saying? Or the Achilles. He's just going and playing basketball. So that's good to see the confidence he has. But like, yeah, you know, like Tyler said, and I said like last podcast, you know, it's going to take a little time, but he'll get there. I think by playoff time, we'll see about 80-90% of Klay. You know what I mean? But I mean, even crunch time last night, I was watching the game. You know, Clay was letting it fly. You know, shit. In his little 20 minutes, 4 minutes he gets into the, well, 5 minutes he gets to the fourth. You know, he's still like shit. You know, I want to get in and, you know, muck it up a little, mud it up a little with the boys. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's fun to see.
What did you guys see the clip of Devin Booker last night's Raptors game? Devin Booker shooting free throws late in the game. In Canada, they've got the arena shut down again, so there's no fans. So there's no fans in the whole arena, and the Raptors mascot is standing behind the basket waving his arms while Devin Booker is shooting free throws. And he was fucking pissed. He told the ref after the first free throw, he's like, look at this guy. He's waving his hands. And the ref sent the Raptor to the corner, bro.
That clip of the Raptor just walking away looking dejected and then turning around and taking a knee is the funniest shit. That shit was fucking, that shit looked like some shit from Curb Your Enthusiasm. But yeah, Devin, man, what the fuck, bro? You really, we calling out mascots, you know what I'm saying? We calling out mascots in an empty arena, dude. Come on, man. But, you know, what really jumped out to me is that, you know, the fucking Raptors arena was empty. Like, I was like, wow, look at a country that actually takes COVID seriously. How about that? That is something I have never seen, you know, being an American citizen. So,
this
yeah.
is a night after we had, I think it was 78,000 fans at the indoor Lucas Oil Stadium for the national championship college football.
Capitalism,
game.
Baby. Got to make that money, baby. Got to make that money.
No, but I think Booker, why would Booker complain about that? You know what I mean? The things he's probably seen and heard, you know what I mean? It's big, hey, man, don't double team in open run vibes. You know what I mean? Like, you play the game. Whatever comes at you, you play the game. And it's a fucking mascot, bro. Hit the free throws, laugh, and play ball, G. I love Devin Booker, but he be having some weird-ass moments like that.
I respect.
This is strike two, Devin.
I mean, who was it? Was it Noah? Who was it? Joakim Noah? He was, you know, going up. I'm not on Joakim Noah's side in that argument. I think that's silly. But at the same time, if somebody's double-teaming you, you still just got to play. You can't say, don't double-team me.
We're just working on our game, bro.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, okay, well, motherfucker, learn how to pass out a double team. That's right. Part of the game, too. Then,
nigga, you, and you, Devin Booker, especially during that time period, was going to see nothing but double teams. You should thank Joe Kim. You feel me?
I just,
said, he didn't like that.
I just really credit D Book for being the most being cantankerous his brand. You know what I mean? I'm a big cantankerous fan, and this is now. He's complained about two things I've never heard of anyone else complaining about. Never heard of an NBA guy complaining about a double team at open run.
I haven't heard of anybody. Not even like have you seen somebody at LA Fitness be like, you can't double team me. Let's just work on our game, guys. I'd be like, you don't shut up and hoop. Check up top.
Might
have been
a triple team with that motherfucker next time.
Right.
And I guess I've heard people complain about mascots. I've never heard anyone complain about a mascot standing there waving his hands.
That's what mascots are literally paid to do. He's the only person in there that has a job still, and he's trying to get him fired too. You know what I mean? Sheesh.
I just think there's a certain sensitivity, which I guess I understand from NBA players being like, either shit's normal or shit's not normal. You know what I mean? If it's just us in the gym, then fucking let's just play the game and get the fuck out of here. Leave the mascot behind. You can turn the announcer off. I don't need to hear the music, whatever the fuck. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Or maybe it's that he hit the rim. It bounced around on the rim before the free throw went in, and he just needed to, like a cornerback grabs his calf after he gets beat. You know what I mean? Like maybe he just needed something to yell about.
He's Westbrook looking at his hands. You know what I mean? Oh, man. After tricking a layup off. That makes no sense. I just wanted to bring that up.
I want to read to you a quote from a tweet from J.R. Smith that I think is like one of the most profound things I've ever seen a basketball player said. Who the hell put these letters in math and why? This is a great
That's so important.
Question.
That's a very important question.
What would you rather be put there than letters? What would you rather be put there? But they're variables. There has to be something to signify that there's supposed to be a number there, and it may vary depending on the other numbers around it. You know what I mean?
I mean, look, I'm not an anti-math guy. I'm just a math sucks to me because I'm terrible at it guy. You know what I mean? So I understand why, you know, the importance of algebra and calculus and all that shit. I understand, you know, its applications in the real world. But
what are the applications of calculus in the? I know calculus is used by engineers and shit, but I've never heard how.
99% of people taking these courses and classes are not going to use this shit, bro.
That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, dude, I took calculus in college, bro. Like, you know, I don't know why I took it. I've never used it. You know what I mean? And even in my finance classes, like, I didn't need calculus in my finance classes. It was, you know, pretty standard math. It was just understanding formulas. You know what I mean? But I feel like, dude, this is algebra. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the beginning of math in college. Calculus is a and physics. Do I cheated in physics? That's science and math. I cheated in physics. It's still got to be. like physics is not. I'm praying for my man. You feel me? I want him to keep that 4.0. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, Tyler.
I was gonna say I was a mass comm major and I had to take two fucking courses of algebra. Right. First time I got passed with a D. Second time I failed that shit. First time. I tried two times, right? You know, you got the rule. If you take course three times and you fail, it counts as you, you know, getting credit for that.
Yep.
I tried twice.
Heard that, but I like that rule.
But yeah, it's true. Yeah, because y'all never failed a class three fucking times like I did. But I failed that shit. I passed the first time, right? The second time, I tried one time, got an F. Tried my ass off again the second time, got an F. Third time, I just took that shit and said, fuck it, and never went, just so I got this shit so I can graduate. So, you know, at the same fucking school J.R. Smith is at. Shouts to North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, yeah.
But
your calculus was pretty good there. Hey, it's the third time out of
engineering program is great.
Program is fucking spectacular. But I don't understand why people who will not be using that in their career path need to take that shit in college.
Here's my journey with math. I was great at math until they brought the letters into it. I was always the first one done with all the arithmetic shit. I was always like 40 out of 40, whatever the fuck. They started bringing letters into it. And I remember the first time it was like, you know, 7x equals 21, you know, solve for x. And I looked at my teacher in slow motion like, what is this? Why is there an X in the math?
There's a fast punch in on you when you're looking.
Yeah. And let me add this. Char is a weirdo with math. She took 2 years of AP calculus in high school and got fives on both the tests. And then at UCLA took a quarter of calculus for fun because she enjoyed calculus. But she's terrible at arithmetic. I am so much faster at basic math that we actually use in life than she is. And it must be like two halves of your brain for like just being a human calculator real quick versus the conceptual shit with the letters that is just completely 30,000 feet over my head.
With the letters, it becomes problem solving. It's not just like, you know, 5 times 5 is 25. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think that's if your brain relates to that more, that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? But My parents, well, my stepdad had me doing hella math books as a kid, so my foundation was pretty solid. Like, I think I was doing, like, sixth grade math in, like, first or second grade, you know what I mean? So I was good up until college. But in college, yeah, that's when it...
I limped my way through...
Calculus was whooping my ass.
In Long Beach, you have to take algebra in eighth grade. So I took algebra in eighth grade, then we did geometry in ninth, algebra 2 in 10th, and then I got to trigonometry in 11th. And I think like 2 weeks into the class, I went to the counselor and I was like, can I still get into college with 2 years of math? And she was like, yeah.
Is trig algebra 2 or algebra 3? Or is that
algebra 3? In 10th grade. Okay, okay. So she said yes, and I was like, cool. I have a free period. Third period. I got the fuck out of that trig class.
Yeah, once you bring that sin and cos and tan into the equation, what the fuck is that, bro?
Bro, that's why, motherfucker? That's crazy. But yeah, my sister, she had the AP courses, Rather had AP courses. They went in there. I don't think they even know if Rather had to take math classes going in. I just don't.
Rather and Char, I would love to hear the comparison of how many units. Because Char had a whole year of AP credit when she got to college. She had 4 years to do 3 years of college. I'm sure Rather from
same
her
with
high
Rather.
School had
Did
the exact
whole
same
first,
shit. She got
whole
to chill.
First year was, yeah, she was a sophomore when she walked into the school.
Right.
Yeah, she wasn't chilling though. You know, I sure Char wasn't either.
I made her chill more than she wanted to, but yes, for sure. Like, listen, we are going to relax. Listen, you busted your ass all high school to have an easier time in college.
You had to pry her away from our calculus book because she was so excited to take calculus for fun.
Aliens.
Right. Facts.
Let's talk about so this is like potentially dangerous territory on two fronts because Draymond is a is a volume cast member and FanDuel is our our sponsor. But did you guys see this Draymond sportsbook shit? Did you read that at all, Tyler, John?
I see it. No.
Okay,
I saw it.
So basically, what happened is the Athletic broke that Draymond was going to start and then not play for Klay's return. They're like, he symbolically wants to start with Klay. So with this calf injury he's got, he was in the starting lineup. I think they said he subbed out 7 seconds into the game. So the Athletic broke this news, which is normal sports news. That's the kind of thing you would see as sports news, I feel like, for our whole life, or at least since Twitter's been around. The difference now is that, you know, if you've been listening to my FanDuel ads, you know every week it feels like we add another state where sports betting is legal. And one of the things people can bet on is individual player lines that they'll have over or under a certain number of points or rebounds or whatever. So as soon as this news broke, a ton of people hopped into whatever their app was and put a bunch of money on all of Draymond's unders. That, oh, he's not going to score 8 points, you know, whatever, because they knew he wasn't really going to play in the game. But because he's listed as available, you know, and not injured, he was still available to bet on for all this stuff.
Did not know that part. Wow.
So, yes, so according to David Purdom, who's ESPN's guy who covers gambling, it sparked controversy because there were millions of dollars of bets placed on this. His lines were 7.5 points, 8.5 rebounds. 8.5 assists, something like that. So people put unders on all this shit, and that's how they were able to basically take all, like, Caesars, BetMGM, PointsBet, DraftKings. FanDuel paid the unders. They also took it off. They also took it off, like, right away, which some of the people were not necessarily up on. DraftKings said they're not sure they're going to pay people. They said it's under review and bet settlements are currently on hold pending an investigation. So it's interesting, man. This is where sports is going one way or another. And it is now the case that if you have your Woj alert set up on Twitter, it might let you get one over on the Caesars sports book. I mean, it's just a fucking bizarre world. But that is where we're going. Like, you know, it's as it gets legalized in more and more states. I know it just got legalized in New York, which is a big deal. So what do you think of this new wave for sports?
I don't know if this is going to get me in trouble with the suits here at the volume, but I will never feel sorry for a sports book for losing money on some shit like this. Are you serious? Like, you know, y'all will be just fine. You know, the house always wins, and y'all just took a loss here. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to feel sorry for a sports book. It's motherfuckers out here living in their cars because they're wilding out on these sports book and shit. And we supposed to feel bad for the sports book because, you know, a few thousand people cash out or some shit like this. No, you'll be fine. You're fucking, you know, FanDuel was valued at what? 30 billion. You know what I'm saying? You'll be fine on just losing a few under bets here. You'll be okay. I promise you will.
To be clear, we are not supposed to feel bad for the sports books.
Not at all.
I'm certainly not advocating that.
What I will say, though, is the person that thought that up, the people that thought that up, I wouldn't necessarily trust them in my personal life either. That is some criminal mastermind shit. I would never even have thought to. Maybe that's because I'm not a better. Maybe it was a normal thought for somebody that bets money. You know what I mean? But
you're saying you wouldn't have taken that tweet from the Athletic and immediately gone to
and immediately thought, let me bet, you know, the under. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's some.
I think especially living in Southern California, John. I mean, the extent to which, like, this is where things are headed is, let me put it like this: we went to Dodger Stadium this year, and they've renovated a ton of Dodger Stadium. Sports betting is not yet legal in California. It's coming. It will be legal at some point. In anticipation of this, Dodger Stadium has a reserved area that is where the sports book at Dodger Stadium will be
so you can live bet on the baseball game that you are at. Like, that's how much this is going to change sports for the general fan. And I, you know, I'm with you guys. We've talked about this on the pod before. None of us are into sports gambling, but people are enough into it that that's how much it's going to change. And it's going to be really like, so if someone's at Dodger Stadium and they hear, you know, they're sitting next to the bullpen and they hear like, oh no, he's not going to go back out there. You could just go run to the book
and bet your rent money.
That's fucking crazy, bro.
I
please don't bet your rent money. I just would say
that for sure. As far as like being in the business, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see, like, there's not a bigger push anywhere else than betting. You know, there's more money in that right now than anywhere else in sports. So
they're talking about it's going to fundamentally change. Like, California already is sitting this year on like a $200 billion budget surplus, basically thanks to legal weed. And they're talking about once they legalize sports gambling, like, I just read California has so much tax revenue this year, in part because of legal weed, that they literally are not legally allowed to spend it. They have to rebate a certain amount of it. So it's crazy, bro.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's only going to be getting crazier, too. The NFL playoffs are here. To celebrate, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving all customers up to a $100 bonus on same-game parlays. Just place a same-game parlay on any Super Wild Card weekend game and get a bonus whether you win or lose. The more you bet, the more you'll get. I'm a big 49ers fan, so I'm looking at that 49ers-Cowboys game. I think that Kyle Shanahan is going to coach circles around the Cowboys coaching staff. And so I am going to take the Niners money line. I'm going to take all of the overs on yardage for Deebo Samuels because I think he is the best football player maybe of all time, actually. But the same game parlays and these boosts are not the only reason that I love FanDuel Sportsbook. They're now live in New York, and I love it because it's got payouts in as little as 2 hours. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and it has great offers for new and existing customers. Log on to FanDuel Sportsbook to unlock your same game parlay bonus today. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can also enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the wild card to win after using promo code JANJ. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. Remember to use promo code JANJ, that's J&J, so they know I sent you. Exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $100 plus 400 odds or longer wager required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. I want to talk about the pressing crime wave that is sweeping America, which is wives are expanding the merchandise that they are stealing from merely hoodies to John was burglarized just yesterday. His cardigan was stolen. And I think we need to talk about this. This is becoming a serious issue.
Y'all be safe in these streets, dog. It's a cold game, dog. You feel me? What's wild? What's wild? Is it? She had to be on camera. She had a you know, important thing to do yesterday. So I was like, yo. She asked me, can I borrow your cardigan? She already wore it on Christmas, just on some boop boop shit. So I mean, you get, you know, it's you act, you know, you're wearing this a lot. But anyway, then I'm like, oh, no, yo, I'm saying, yo, whatever you want to wear, yo, grab whatever out of my closet. You feel me? She grabs it. I take a picture on some laughing shit, like. You know, y'all be safe out here, King. It's dangerous in these streets. They ain't just stealing hoodies. They stealing cardigans. So she dropped a picture on the IG, flexing, wearing suede boots and shit. You know what I mean? You know, my shit, talking about I stole this from my husband after that. So I posted because I ain't no fuck, nigga. I'm going to show love for my lady, right? So what tripped me out is motherfuckers hitting me up. Yo, that's her cardigan now. You need to give her that, bro. You ain't never looked that good in that cardigan. Nigga, ain't nobody ask you all of that. You know what I'm saying? This was a pretty expensive cardigan. I had to think a lot to get this. This is, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, should I do this, nigga? And then you want me to just, you ain't ask me about my funds? You know, what I sacrificed to get my cardigan, nigga? Yeah, she looked good, better, looked gooder than me. She looked gooder. You know what I mean? Men, women do it better. You know what I'm saying? But how disloyal everybody was on Instagram is what got me.
You know, all the laughs.
Were they disloyal or were they honest?
They was honest, but nigga, if we friends, you know what I'm saying? If we gonna yuck it up for years, nigga, you know what I'm saying? Hey, my G, you know what I mean? Don't just be like, she looked nice in it. Don't be like, hey, 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 bruh. She did it better, G. You gonna hate to hear this, but hey, she's stunning your shit, nigga. That's hers. Them the rules. I'm like, nigga. And I do the shit like where I show my mentions and shit. And it's cool and it's fun. I'm like, damn, I'm wearing my cardigan day because I'm petty. And Rod was like, pettiness, man, it's gonna be your downfall. And she might be right. But I got the cardigan on right now. Shit.
I feel like that rant was a verbal subtweet at me because I was in sympathy with you, but then I did. She snitched me out that I.
You know she is though, because the thing is she can't help but like, yeah, hey, because she showed me the first time, like shaking my head, and I'm like, see, at least Mike has my back. You know what I mean? And here comes the foil, nigga, whatever the fuck.
You know I said I mean? SMH, and she said,
boom, on top of
she
my head
said,
from
don't
behind
be a
me.
Hater, I look good. And I said, you do look good. I mean, what do
yeah,
you
Yeah, yeah, but hey, but no, bro. You was basically like, here, that's your cardigan, too. You was with the other niggas. You was an op. I'm like, damn, bro. I mean, the thing is, dog, it's unfair, too. Like, women are always gonna look better in clothes than men. Women just do it better. Rather in particular, bro, like in my experience, I pull up in a hoodie, some jeans, you know what I'm saying, some sneakers and shit. Rather have a fucking, pattern coat with a fucking overthrow over his shoulder and shit looking like royalty. I'm like, bro, I'm not gonna compete with her. I don't even think the same as her. You know what I mean? You know, like, dog. But, dog, it was just wild. People shitting on me.
Well, I don't shit on you. I stand in solidarity with you, but I did also lay my arms down in that battle 10-plus years ago. That at this point, because for me, beanies, hats, jackets, hoodies, sweatshirts, crew necks, I've lost everything.
I didn't know that was like.
And Shar is 9 inches shorter than me, so the shit mostly does not even fit her.
Yeah.
It's just a show of strength.
Rather's 5'6".
Shit gets
right. She just
asserting her dominance
unnecessarily. Rather's 5'6", so like it's big, but it's not too. It looks more cozy than like. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So it's the oversized fit that the cools are doing now. You know what I mean? And so, like, dog, like, I'm just like, bro, if it looks better, bro, nigga, I didn't need you to say that. We friends, right? But yeah, it's my closet. What really gets me is the socks. You know what I mean? Like, when my socks is going, and I don't really trip as much now. Sometimes I just buy, when I buy my socks, I'll just give her some. You know what I mean? I'll buy her some as well. But, like, if she takes the socks and it's not the exact matching sock, because like a 2015 Hanes sock is different from a 2017 Hanes sock, you can tell in the textures. I can, so it just bugs me. I'm sounding really weird right now. I'm going to.
I don't even know what the fuck a Hanes sock is.
Hanes, the brand Hanes.
Oh,
yeah,
Hanes.
Like
okay.
They change up how it looks a little bit. Like the ribs will be thicker than the you know. Does that make sense? Am I tripping? Do I sound like a fucking? I know I sound like a nerd.
You sound like a fancy sock. Are you wearing the socks with the fucking gray heel and the gray toes? Are you
yeah,
wearing those fancy?
Yeah,
socks?
Y'all don't wear those. Those aren't fancy socks. I wear Carhartt socks, and they're like. $5, bro. Right, so you got a red toe to radio. Fancy sock ass nigga. That's a fan. Yeah, the stripes in the middle.
It's a Target sock. Jeez. I got Target brand socks.
Hey, them shits be fire though. Them shits be.
I got I have size 13 feet, and the no shows. Most no show brands are too small, and then the ones that pop up a little bit, they don't. You know what I mean? They pop up too much. So then the Target ones, for whatever reason, is perfect to just wear it and not have it sticking up over the top of my shoe.
What's really wild?
That's my
is,
fancy sock talk. Sock talk.
What's really wild sock is talk. I'll buy her the same thing I buy myself a lot. Like, not even just socks. Like, I have a jacket. I'm like, you like it. I'm going to get you one. You know what I'm saying? But, like, she don't want the shit I bought her. She want the shit I bought me. That's what that would be like, no. Like, hey, when you done with that, let me get it.
What?
And when you done with that, let me get it is, I'm going to be in that motherfucker, you know. Pretty constantly, just you know, just I'm just
Tyler. How many hoodies have you lost over the years?
Oh shit, Summer be running through my shit all the time. Summer will go in my shit when we're going out together and just wear my shit like in my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, that's just a normal thing to do.
Ain't even asked. You know what I mean? Ain't none of that. Just,
it just is what it is,
the
bro.
The game's a game.
The position I've adopted, John, and maybe this will be helpful for you, is it wasn't your cardigan. It was her cardigan that you bought for her ahead of time and were keeping warm for her. You know what I mean?
You know how she's been saying I'm like Martin?
Yeah.
I got some work to do. All right. So we've been watching Martin, and she's been saying, how's it feel watching yourself on television? Which really, that was unnecessary. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I ain't Martin, I'm me, which is something Martin might say. You know what I'm saying?
That is some Martin James shit.
You know what I'm saying? I'm me, nickel, you feel me? And then we like, but I don't know, man. But I ain't there yet with that thinking. Hopefully I will, and un-Martin myself, you feel me?
We have good news for our own Mr. Perrier. Preliminary studies suggest that cannabinoids in the lungs do, in fact, and this was like a funny meme for two fucking years, but preliminary studies do suggest that cannabinoids in lung tissue actually do provide resistance against the original COVID as well as its variants. Tyler, congratulations to you on your foresight, my friend.
Yes. I knew this years ago when I first started smoking. Nah, hell no, I ain't know shit about this. But if that shit is true, then I know my fucking lung cells are fortified in a motherfucker.
Fortified.
That might be a reason why I never caught the motherfucking Rona, knock on wood or whatever. But that's a great development. Like you know, there's always this talk about we do not know much about COVID. But, you know, when we're finding shit out like this on the side, you know, that's a win for weed, man. And I'm all for wins for weed.
That's kind of like Signs to me, where they found out they were, like, the aliens were allergic to water, where water killed the aliens. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I always hated that plot twist. I figure if, like I said, if the alien civilization is smart enough to master interstellar travel, I think they would know, okay, this planet is full of shit that we cannot fuck with. You know what
maybe
I mean?
Maybe they hadn't experienced water before. Maybe they hadn't experienced H2O.
I would just say that we can do that from our planet about other planets. So I would think if someone could travel to Earth that they'd be able to. I totally agree with Tyler on that. That was some.
But we've also experienced it before. That's what we can. You go ahead.
If we went to a planet covered in lava, and we were like, "What is this hot liquid that is
I'm saying, right? But we know what lava is.
Well, but there's no.
Like, we know what water is. You know what I'm saying?
No, but but that's
if they don't have any of that on their planet, maybe they hadn't experienced.
If there's no water on their planet, there's no life on their planet. And that,
I mean,
and
not. For, I mean, not. We don't.
Yes, we do. There's only so
this
many
is a
building
movie,
blocks,
Mike.
Only so,
and these are aliens. We can't be like.
Well, Tyler and I maybe could.
This is a movie and aliens. Like, we're gonna say, I don't know.
I was sitting there in the movie with aliens, going, they never heard of hydrogen and oxygen.
Right.
Maybe.
The fuck?
I wonder what percentage of the universe is hydrogen and oxygen.
I mean, it's only like, you know, that the way that we know the universe is expanding and that there was some sort of Big Bang type of event, whether it was caused by God or by some sort of natural occurrence, whatever. The way we know that is there's certain shit from the Big Bang that is moving outward. And we have the ability with our stupid monkey brains to track the rate at which it is moving outward. Mm-hmm. So there's just no way that a species that could master interstellar travel is like, 2 hydrogen molecules per oxygen molecule?
Maybe,
what is
maybe
this?
Maybe the guy that was supposed to decide, or like who found it, was a slacker, bro. Aliens have slackers too. You know what I mean? The dude that found out like how far shit is from us, or like he's really smart. But there's a lot of silly ass motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, that probably surround him.
I'm just gonna leave it at this. I am not siding with M. Night Shyamalan over proven scientific theory.
I mean, definitely
you know
not.
I mean? So,
I mean, I'm not doing that either.
This,
I'm not doing
this
that
motherfucker. This motherfucker had a fucking pickup drive by in the village, and that was the worst movie going experience of my fucking life,
bro.
You know what I mean? You reacted viscerally to that pickup drive,
dog. I couldn't believe that bullshit. I was literally upset. And I don't think I've ever been upset at a movie in a movie theater before. You know, I was literally like, what the fuck is this?
M. Night Shyamalan just does whatever the fuck he wants, which I respect. But I'm not going to side with the logic of M. Night Shyamalan over science. Not at all. I'm just saying,
but that's
what
you
if.
Just did that.
Not inside. You know what I'm saying? What if? I think it's still a bad, you know, it was a bad plot twist. I did like the movie, though. I still enjoyed it. Yeah. I think it was a good movie up until that point. And also, there's particular parts that I think are the funniest parts I've ever seen in a movie. So,
absolutely.
This has nothing to do with... What were we talking about?
I don't remember. Oh, weed. This is actually fitting. We were talking about weed protecting Tyler's lungs from
this
COVID.
This is a weed conversation.
Right. I'm going to tell you, though. Rather looked up... Because I try to use that. You know, I'm like, bro, you know what I'm saying? You know, you know what I'm saying? Because There's a conversation going on. Yeah, and so she was like, she looked up the who paid for the research. Yeah, it's a real company, but it's a company that has something to gain from that being said.
Oh, this study was like the.
It was like the study that
De Beers paid for about how synthetic diamonds don't move people as much as real diamonds.
Yes, that's what. It wasn't like a scholarly, It was.
This is ExxonMobil saying that if the climate gets warmer, everyone's going to feel more cozy. That's what you're saying.
But you know, I don't even think a big weed exists at this moment. You know what I mean? I feel like the market is so, you know, scattered that there's no real centralized powers like a De Beers is with diamonds.
I'm not saying it was a centralized power. It's a company that definitely will benefit from the selling of weed. You know what I mean? Or, you know what I'm saying? So, or organization that would, you know what I'm saying?
Weed is going to suck. And you know that shit is coming.
I think big weed might already be here. We just don't see it yet. Bro, there's too much money in it for there not to be big weed. You know what I mean?
Like I said, there's going to be marijuana cigarettes in 7-Elevens in about 15, 20 years. I'm sure.
Bro, we have an Apple store. We have a marijuana Apple store here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, those are specialized weed stores. I'm telling you, this shit is going to come fucking mainstream. Like, you're going to be able to buy marijuana cigarettes at gas stations.
Yeah, for sure. That's happening. Sure. I agree.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, we might be kind of fortunate that the tobacco companies didn't just decide that they want to – bully everyone else out and take the shit over, to be honest. Which actually kind of surprises me. I just sort of assumed that that's what would happen because they're the ones with the money. You know what I mean? The money, the big money that exists in weed, I would assume prior to it being legalized, is sort of difficult to move that big money into a legal space for the obvious reasons. You know what I mean? So I assumed it would be some sort of big corporate backing, and it's kind of nice it hasn't happened yet, but I assume that the shit
will happen. I mean, I think they actually bought out, like, what are those little, like, the fake cigarettes? They're supposed to get people off of cigarettes?
The Juuls?
The Juuls. I think they're behind them now. I think they bought those companies out, too. You know, something like that.
Well, here they
So they bought the company that was trying to prevent people from smoking cigarettes because the Juuls were actually more addictive than the cigarettes themselves.
That's like the first time I read about like the gas companies buying up the companies that were designing electric engines for cars, just literally buying them so they could put the shit on a shelf and like not pay. It was like, can you imagine having that much money that you're spending money just to continue to ruin the world?
Make money off that too. They're trying to corner the market. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I'm talking about, Big tobacco. Jesus Christ. Can we just change the subject?
Yeah. I wanted to, before we get out of here, talk about, just because, I don't know, maybe no one gives a shit about this, but it's interesting to me, the interesting challenge of parenting in the 2020s, which is we found out that my son can effectively, he doesn't have a phone yet that he could really use, but we found out because they're all online for school now, and obviously when they were home for school, when the schools were closed, they had to be online. So he has a laptop that the school gave him and everything. They can use Google Docs that they can create within their classroom folder.
Ingenious.
To basically just like text back and forth with each other and then just delete it. And then you'd have no idea like what happened. And I don't know how we're supposed to keep up with this shit. These little 8-year-olds are running fucking circles around us, bro.
You can't.
It's grown ass adults who don't have that mastery of Google Docs, right? And we got 8-year-olds fucking maneuvering like that. Yeah, we're living in the future for real, dog. That's crazy. That's fucking brilliant. Like, you know, kids that age are always kind of, you know, knowing how to game the system a bit. But, you know, they are technologically advanced in a way we weren't at that age, of course. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
What was the first time you were looking at a teacher going, oh, I know more about this than them? I feel like maybe 10th, 11th grade, we started using computers and I was like, oh, this motherfucker doesn't really know what to do. Our kids' generation, my son's generation, that they've been that way since first grade. You know what I mean? Like right. That from first grade, they were like, oh, I'll let the teacher know that I can help her out if I need to. Like second grade, he was at home doing Zoom, giving tech assistance to his teacher and shit. When we had him on the 562 podcast, because we interviewed Vincent, like, what's it like being a student at home and stuff, he got on the Zoom, chatted us, and then checked in to make sure everyone was doing good. And I'm like, this dude is so much more comfortable on Zoom than I am. It's ridiculous. He was chatting us right. throughout the interview.
I am not even advanced enough to do that.
No.
What the fuck? That is crazy.
John stresses fuck because he has a baby girl that cannot yet like move around. And she's going to be smarter than him in about 45 minutes.
I'm wondering, hopefully not smarter than Rather though. I'm wondering is, like, are there still like old-ass teachers in elementary school or are the teachers younger? They're still old? Okay, so like they're still having teachers that probably more than half of their life they didn't even have computers. You know what I mean? Because if they had like a 25, 26-year-old elementary teacher, she was probably born with a computer in her hand just like them. So that would make it easier. I'm really trying to figure out how this is going to be in elementary school with Salmi's in elementary school. I don't know. Because I'm not going to be able to keep it, but I know for a fact. I mean, they were born, like these, their phone is like another appendage. You right. know what I'm saying? Like,
well, and yeah, we don't even let Vince, you know, he has a phone here that he can, that it doesn't have cell service. So he could text us from the Wi-Fi, like if he has to, maybe I shouldn't say this, if he has to be home by himself for a little bit, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were all home by ourselves all the time, but now it's child abuse if that happens or whatever. So,
it was me and my sister. So being a latchkey kid is just flat out illegal.
I mean, I was like 9 watching my 4-year-old brother at home. I'm sure we all had that experience to some extent. Sure. But yeah, no, it's like you'll see those news stories every now and then, like a kid was walking around in their own neighborhood in the suburbs and someone called the police.
So, I mean, I couldn't leave the house, though. I couldn't leave the house if my mom wasn't there. She was like, stay your ass at the crib till I get home.
This is kids just playing outside.
Summers, too. Yeah, I see. We wasn't.
That's crazy.
Nah.
But anyway, yeah.
Bro, I never had a babysitter growing up. Like,
right.
My brother's 2 years older than me, so he was the babysitter. You feel
hey,
me?
Bro, starting he was the like, boss, too. How was that? How was that, bro?
We had our clashes. You know, as all siblings do.
Right.
Which was basically him whooping my ass or me, you know, stealing off on him and running.
I think the best thing that happened to me and Joy is Joy's a girl. You know what I mean? Like, so we just end up being cool after a while. You know what I mean? But if she was a boy, we'd probably been at each other's head just like that.
My brother was 5 years younger than me, so we didn't have the, like, fights to establish dominance because I was always way bigger than him. So I would pick him up and throw him on some just being funny shit. But I was never you know, we were never like fighting because I would just pin his ass down and sit on his head and shit like that.
Oh, he used to be WrestleMania around this motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, me and my brother, we only 2 years apart.
Two years and two boys is tough, bro.
2 years apart is not is far enough where he's gonna be probably much a lot bigger than you for your younger years. But yeah, not
like,
far
like,
enough.
Like a sixth grader versus a fourth grader is like six weight classes, bro.
But he's not gonna feel bad for whooping your ass. It's only 2 years.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So.
It's like I'm not too young to know better than to not try this motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Because my brother in first grade was looking at me in sixth grade, and there's an evolutionary thing in the brain that's like, don't fight that, right?
right. But the younger brother usually has hands. The younger brother usually has hands because they've been fighting their older brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they step into a big dude, and the big dude looked like food. Because they've been fighting.
Little brothers aren't scared of getting their ass beat. You know, it's been happening our whole childhood. So, you know, sometimes you got to take something to give some. You know,
you feel me? It's just part of it.
All right. That's our time for Jenkins and Jones. We will be back on Monday next week. Thank you for fucking with us. We appreciate you guys. Bye.
Bye.